Speak Out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
The police!
When Ham the astroturf said, no more space flights. Who did Great Minds at NASA turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... He's the poster child for no cloning. Paul LaVoy!
Captain Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
All right, welcome to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, number 79, Dan Del Santos.
Man, oh man, I got to tell you, Paul, we're getting there, aren't we?
Almost 80.
I know it. And show will be number 80during London Bridge Days, October, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's quite a milestone.
Yes, it is.
Very cool. Very, very cool. You have an amazing guest today.
I sure do, and I got to tell you, we've had some amazing guests on our show. But today I'm really taken by the opportunity to introduce all our listeners to a wonderful woman who actually origins start in Europe, and her story is going to enlighten a great many of us. Her name is Miss Pat Miller, and so Pat, why don't you say hello real quick to our guests?
Hello, everybody.
Wonderful. So,
you could almost detect it.
Almost,
right? The British accent.
Oh, yeah. No, and so it's authentic. Thank you for authenticating our guest speaker voice today. So, Pat, one of the big reason that our listeners are tuning in today because they know that you had some experience seeing the London Bridge being taken apart, but I want to start with where you're from and, giving our conversation today some foundation, because when you were sharing with me about the era in which you were born and some of your experiences, I got to tell you, it really took me back. Can you share with us where you're from?
I'm from London.
Okay. What particular part is there?
Southwest London.
Okay.
And I used to visit my grandmother's house quite often, and it was a three-story house, and she had the middle apartment. And I was looking out the window one day in September 1939, and I said to her, Nan, why is this truck stopping at every house? And she said, well, I guess we'll soon find out. And they were coming to fit us with gas masks.
Oh, wow.
And we had to carry those gas masks with us everywhere during the war.
I'm in awe we read about it, but I never have actually gotten to speak with someone who's gone through that experience. So that must have been kind of a traumatic thing, or was it?
I hated the gas mask because we used to have exercises at school and we'd have to wear them, and they would flap on the side of our face and smell rubbery and.
Oh, my God. So
you had to carry them with you everywhere you went.
You lived through the Battle of Britain, is what you're saying.
Yes. And
wow.
Well, then my dad got moved to Manchester, and he was supervising the building of barrage balloons.
Yes. Which, for those of you who don't know what that is, they rose up above the ground and gave aerial perspective to the
filled with gas.
Ground forces.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Mm. And then in Manchester, all the schools were being closed down, and they told my mother she'd have to evacuate me to the country, or else they were going to ship me to Canada.
Wow.
So I got evacuated to the country for 2 years.
Wow.
And that was the worst 2 years of my life, really, because by then we were in northern England with a different accent, and so the people at school used to pick up on my southern England accent, and these couple of girls used to wait behind the hedge to beat me up on my way home.
Oh, my gosh. You were all of 6 or 8 years old at
yes.
this time, 1939. Yet,
you know, I have to say, a lot of us think about the differences in the cultures that we have right here in the United States and the different slangs and verbiage that we share. I never thought about England having different speech patterns.
It's very localized. You could tell where somebody comes from as soon as they start talking.
Man, that's amazing. So are you saying you had a Cockney accent?
Well...
Or how does all that work?
Just a Southern England
okay.
accent.
Is it more industrial then?
I don't really know.
Okay. I'm just wondering the North and South, what the differences would be.
The Northern people drop their H's when they speak.
Okay.
And you can tell the difference when you hear them. Lancashire accent is very common.
Oh, okay.
That's Northern England.
Right.
So, you know, growing up during that time, I mean, how close did the war come to your life?
In Manchester, we were in the bomb shelters many nights, all night.
Wow.
The sirens would scare the hell out of me, you know.
So it sounds like you were in the thick of it.
Yes. I was until I was sent out to the country.
Okay.
That was in Northern England.
I'm in awe, truly. And so, you know, grateful that you're here with us today. So the experience, you know, was life-changing, I can only imagine.
It was, because we had the blackout. We couldn't go out at night, you know, and because I was young, we weren't allowed to go out at night.
And the thick curtains, right?
Yeah, yes.
Blackout curtains.
Yes.
Do you remember hearing Winston Churchill on the radio?
Oh, yes.
Really?
He brought us through that war psychologically. He really did.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm really taken by that. You know, you've truly set the stage for our conversation today, because it's one thing for somebody just to pop over and see the bridge, but your background, and you know, you and I were talking earlier before we started the show, and you know, one of the topics, of course, is going to be about the bridge being taken apart. But you were there during the war, and so the bridge itself brings back part of your history, because it still has all the strafe marks from the Messerschmitt's machine guns from the planes.
Yes.
Strafed along the side of the bridge.
Wow.
And you were there while that was happening.
Yeah.
So that's really a landmark coincidence if I ever heard of one.
Well, my mother and father did fire watching. Everybody that had a business had to have somebody up on the roof at night fire watching.
Oh, wow.
Looking for
fire
embers
around
you
the
know,
city?
Yeah, to give a warning.
Wow.
Yes.
So they would float and get other structures caught on fire? Is that what I'm understanding? Or?
Well, it was bombs dropping and spreading sparks.
Oh, okay.
And so they were looking for fires starting.
And were they able to put out many of the fires if they started? I mean, I was thinking infrastructure must have been pretty broke down at that point.
Yeah, bucket brigades, if I read correctly.
I don't know how they dealt with the fires, but it was always, I always had to ask my mother if she was coming home that night. No, I'm fire watching tonight, you know, which meant she had to stay at the store.
Wow. You know, yeah, not I'll be late because I'm bowling. That's amazing. So, you know, how long did that go on in your youth? I mean, you know.
Well, it got when I went to the country, it got better. You know, we didn't have the air raids in the country. So okay. That was a relief. I didn't really know what was going on in the city because I didn't see my mother and father very often.
Oh, so you were, I didn't realize you were separated from your family.
Yes, oh, I was sent to a family out in the country that I didn't know.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's why I used to cry for my mother every night.
Oh, my goodness. That's heart-wrenching, needless to say, and profound that you've, you know, you lived through that kind of a situation. And your parents, did they make it through the ordeal?
Yes. Well, they divorced. They had their own private war.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. That's one way to look at it.
Hitler had nothing on your parents. Okay.
Well, it got so bad that when I was 11, I wrote a letter to my father and said, I never want to see you again because I couldn't handle the tension between them.
Right.
And I didn't see him for over 20 years.
I'm so sorry that that happened. That in itself, on top of everything else,
yes.
Must have been devastating.
You know, adults don't realize the damage that divorce does to their children.
It's agonizing. I have to agree.
Because you have loyalties to both of them, and you pull them, push them, you know, and I couldn't handle it.
And very few kids do handle it very well.
And, you know, 20-odd years later, when I did finally meet my dad, the first thing he gave me was my letter that I'd written to him when I was 11.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. So he kept that.
Yes.
So there is inspiration there, needless to say, that the parents don't stop loving their children, just the relationship broke down.
Yeah.
Right, and I understand. And I'm sure many people here, our listeners, understand that situation, no matter if it was, you know, that many years ago or today. So it's still a challenge. So, you know, it's all over now. And what happened, you know?
Well,
where'd you go?
The economy was so bad after the war. There was so much unemployment. And one night, my mother had been sick and the doctor said, you need a complete change. And one night when she was sitting with my stepdad around the fire. They were drinking their Guinness, and she said, well, we're going to emigrate to Canada.
Oh, my.
And my stepdad said, well, how are we going? And she said, well, we're going on a ship. Oh, he says, I'm not going on a ship. And she said, well, we'll just leave you behind.
Going by steamer. Wow.
There are actually families that moved here with that same story. Well, if you're not coming to Havasu with us, we'll leave you behind. And they came anyway.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, you know, the bridge was built in the early years. And I wanted to know, was there any importance of the bridge to the people of London at that time? Was it anything unique or special?
Well, you take them for granted, you know, when mm-hmm. you're using them every day. You don't even think about them being moved away.
Right.
You know?
There's so many
in
London.
Oh, yes, yeah. There are. Yeah.
So was there anything that you can think of that made the London Bridge so special to...
No.
It's been quite a controversy with London and in the U.S. that we somehow took their bridge. We bought it, but we still took it.
Well, I've got a little write-up on it, and evidently somebody from London came over here to advertise that the bridge was for sale. They kind of promoted mm-hmm. the sale of it.
Right.
And I guess that's how Mr. McCulloch first became acquainted.
Yeah, C.V. Wood had caught wind of that. And
you were here before that, right, Dan?
Yeah.
Before the bridge?
Yeah, I was. It was just being, it wasn't completed yet.
Okay.
So, but yeah, and that's correct. It's my understanding that C.V. had caught wind of that and brought it to Robert P. McCulloch's attention.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't us that went and tried to get the bridge. It was them trying to sell us the bridge, so everybody understands that. But they're still rather angry. I was there in 1999 at near New Year's, and I thought I'd stroll over and see where the bridge was. I mean, it's mm-hmm. the thing to do for us from Havasu. And I found the place, and there's no bridge. They hadn't rebuilt the new one yet. And so I thought I'd stroll into one of the local shops and introduce myself and say, hey, we've got your bridge. We're taking good care of it, right? Oh, that didn't go well. It didn't
really?
Go well at all.
Fights on, huh?
I had to look over my shoulder on the way out of the shop. I wasn't getting, nothing was flying at my head. They were not amused.
You were a damn Yankee.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know you can tell the damn Yankees over there because they always have a big camera hanging around their neck and they've got nice leather belts.
Yes.
Okay. That's funny.
Yeah, they weren't happy about that. And, one of the, as we get ready to go into our next segment, we have a few minutes before our commercial break.
And we can, whenever you want.
Yeah, so... I'll tell you, one of my favorite stories is when Michael McCulloch had gone over, and he'd taken the tour here recently, and he had listened to the tour guide's monologue, and at one point they brought up the old bad rumor, mm-hmm. and that rumor, of course, was that Robert P. McCulloch was picking up. Was trying to buy the Tower Bridge and ended up with the London Bridge, which was not true, was not accurate. But anyway, he corrected the tour guide, and inevitably, the tour guide said, "I'm sorry, you don't have that right. You don't know
his own grandson."
Yeah, this is his own grandson. So wow. I know Michael's currently been made those appropriate changes with Parliament. But do we have a call?
We do.
What do we got?
Caller, you're live on Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
Hey, Paul, it's Greg.
Yes, Greg.
Hey, I got a story about the bridge. Me and a buddy of mine were in Barley Brothers one night having dinner, and next to us was a table full of about 8 different people, and we noticed that they had a really cool accent. So I asked them, I said, "Where are you from?" And they said, "Oh, we're from England." And I said, "Oh, well, what brings you to Havasu?" And he goes, "Well, you took our damn bridge."
Actually,
and I got to tell you, we ended up hanging with them for a couple hours, and they were one of the nicest group of people I can say that I had met in a long time.
Nice.
We had a great time with them. They had a great sense of humor. But it was so funny, the first thing he says, "You took our damn bridge."
That's funny.
And, of course, we were sitting right at the window and could look at it.
Yes.
Right.
And there was a couple older people in that group, and they remember when the bridge was still there. And so it was a really nice visit. I just thought I'd share that with you.
All right.
Well, we sure appreciate that. And, We've gotten several stories like that over the years. We're talking about 55 years of visitors from all over the world. And, of course, many of those were coming from the UK. And they wanted to see where their bridge got moved to.
Right.
One of the things they said to us is that, "Well, you know what? We're sure glad you're taking good care of it, because if you weren't, you'd have a problem."
That's funny. There's a lot of difference between "you took our bridge" and "we sold you a bridge."
That's right. Good one,
yeah,
Paul.
Exactly.
Good one, Paul.
Exactly.
So, all right. Thanks, Greg.
Right.
We appreciate it.
If you thought that was good, I got a bridge. I'm going to sell you.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing when you said the bridge was for sale. I'm going to sell you a bridge in London, right? All right, let's go ahead and take our first break of the hour. And I thought I'd go with a little British Invasion music. How's that sound? Right?
Yes.
For our bumper music today, a little Herman's Hermits. I'm in the mood. I'm into something good. That's the name of the song. There you go. A little Herman's Hermits. Back with more in a moment on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, number 79, with host Dan De Los Santos, of course, and our guest is Pat Miller from London. We're going to find out how you got to Canada, or if you got to Canada, and how you got to Arizona. All right,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. You can call in as well, 928-854-5687.
If you want
a great movie.
Yeah.
Right? City Portier.
City Portier, yep.
Exactly. Lulu, To Sir With Love, of course. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City, Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo on Main Street, Annie's Thrift Shop in Kingman, Perfectly Pressed Cleaners, and, of course, our Havasu Pioneer sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Cleaning. What an interesting guest we have today.
I'm not kidding. You know, I wanted to say shout out to Mercury. Those folks have been really helpful. They were one of the first coming on board to help us out, and so big thanks to them. And so we have this really amazing guest speaker with us today, and I'm so happy that she's here. We have Pat Miller, and Pat has an amazing history there in Europe, and as she takes off and begins to circle the globe and come back over to our side of the town, she has an additional story. So, Pat, you know, the war has moved on, and so have you. And where did you go after Europe? I mean, what happened then?
Well, in 1952, with my stepdad and my mother, we emigrated to Canada.
Okay.
Because they were advertising in England that they needed help. But when we got there, we had to check in with the employment office, and this man really shouted at us and said, if you people think you can come here and get work when we've got 300,000 people unemployed, you're mistaken.
Wow. There you go.
That's probably the kind version.
Yeah.
So what brought you to the U.S.?
So, well, and then I met my husband on the ship going to Canada.
Oh, okay.
And he already was hired in London to work at a new aircraft company in Toronto.
Okay.
Avro Aircraft it was.
Okay.
And they built this prototype aircraft that broke the airspeed record.
Wow.
And then the next day, the Prime Minister cancelled all our contracts and put 50,000 people out of work.
Oh, my goodness.
And so my husband said, we're going for the sunshine. And so that's when we went through all the investigation of immigrating to this country, which was more complicated in those days. And we came to San Diego, but nobody wanted to talk to us. We were aliens with green cards, even though we had secret clearance through the Defense Department.
Wow. And, of course, well, we barely knew what that was, you know, in that era,
yes.
That time frame. So, yeah, so now, did you end up coming to San Diego first?
Yes.
Okay.
We came to San Diego. And then eventually we moved up to northern San Diego County. And then eventually we moved up to the Sierras.
Wow. That's a heck of a transition.
4,200 feet.
Yeah.
Wow.
But after I lost my husband, I stuck it out for 3 years. But then we had a 5-day a night power outage. And I said to my son, I got to get out of here.
Right.
So, you know, by that time we had this investment house here in Havasu.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he said, well, where are you going to live? And I said, well, I might as well live in that house in Havasu. And he said, well, you can't live there. You don't have any friends. I said, well, I have to work on that.
Fortunately, we're a town that we all came here with no friends, and we made friends.
Yes.
So it's good that you came here, and we are that type of a community, fortunately, that embraces people when they show up, and I'm glad you're here. So what year did that happen? I think it was
2011 when I came here.
Okay.
And the first weekend, I went to Grace Episcopal Church. And after the end of the service, this lady standing next to me said, Pat, would you be, well, she didn't give me a name. She said, would you be interested in singing in a barbershop chorus? And I said, well, I didn't know anything about it, but yes, I would. And so I joined the Colomondi chorus.
Right.
And that opened the door to many friends.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's so wonderful. I have to tell you.
I got a question about climate. You said Sierra Nevadas.
Yes.
40, and then down to Havasu. That's quite a change in climate.
Oh, the week that my husband was, his last week, was in the ICU. I came home to get showered and changed my clothes. I couldn't get in the driveway for the snow. My youngest son had to come over with the plow and move the snow for me to get into the house.
I can really relate to that. I lived in Colorado, Castle Rock, Colorado, and I'm telling you, I don't want to see snow again.
No.
I watch it on TV, and I got to get a coat.
What was that first summer like in Havasu as a full-time resident? That must have been quite a change.
Oh, it was, yes, definitely.
So I know a lot of people are waiting to hear, and needless to say, I am too. Can you tell us about how it came about that you got to go back and visit the London Bridge during the time it was being disassembled?
Well, after I made a connection with my father, because my two boys said, how come our friends have a grandpa and we don't have a grandpa? Mm. And I said, well, you'd have one in England somewhere. And they said, well, find him then. So I wrote to my mother's solicitor in England that had handled the divorce, and they gave me an address for him in London. So when I came home from church, this is when we were in San Diego, it was Easter Sunday, and my husband said, there's a telegram here and I can't figure it out. And the telegram said, greetings to you and Easter greetings to you and your family. Delighted to hear from you. Letter follows, love, Dad. And that was the first communication I had in over 20 years.
I am just in awe over that and couldn't be happier for you to finally have some closure there.
Yeah. So he came to visit us that Christmas, and then he said, well, you know, come and visit me. And that's that first trip back to England was when he took me to the bridge.
Wow. Okay. Now, maybe walk me through what that must have been like. I mean, you drive up, and I realize that not many people even understood that, one, the bridge was coming over here, and two, that it was even being taken apart. So what did you see through your eyes?
I didn't know anything about the bridge being moved.
Okay.
But he thought that I would know all about it. And of course, I didn't. You know, in San Diego, we never heard very much about Arizona. And so it was quite a surprise to me when he took us there to show us the bridge being taken apart like that. Now, I can remember them writing all these numbers on each piece of granite.
Oh, that's special.
Oh, right.
That's special right there.
Right.
Yes.
That's a big deal. And, of course, you know by now that that's how it got put back together.
Yes, that's right. It was like a puzzle.
Right. So at what, I don't know if you got there just when it was starting to be taken apart. How far along do you think they might have been when you got there?
I think they were well along, because my first visit was September 1970.
Okay.
And so I think they were well along at that point.
So, yeah, they was purchased in 68 and started moving between 69 and 70. So, yeah, they must have been far along.
Yes.
And for all our listeners who don't know this, we got the outside layer of bricks, the facade bricks that make up the beautiful look that you see today. Our bridge is absolutely brand new. Inside, all concrete, rebar, and it's hollow through where all the utilities go through to the island. But fortunately, everything is authentic on the exterior of the bridge, and that's what they moved over. Now, they still had to get rid of the bridge, so on top of getting all the bricks, stones that we see today, they still had to take down the rest of it. So I don't know what part you may have seen, because I imagine it was pretty much slim pickings by the end.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of pieces with numbers on. I can remember that.
Okay.
There was still maybe the outside of it that was still there.
Were they in place or were they stacked up on the side?
They were moving them.
Okay.
Yes, they were moving, you know, like one at a time.
I always wondered, Dan, the stones that are dispersed around town.
Yes.
Were those just like IKEA, like you couldn't figure out where to put it, so they just said, let's put those around town.
It's actually a good question. So inevitably, those are leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason they're leftover, and it's always been a kind of a controversy. The bridge is just as long as it was. However, it's not as wide. It was slightly wider, is my understanding.
Okay.
All the arches are there, but there was a considerable amount of stone left over. Interesting story when Pat was telling us about all the numbers being written on the side. They actually had a stone with a handwritten ledger of all the numbers that they had and where they went on to build the bridge, how it was taken apart, how to put it back together, and they shellacked it to a stone.
Oh.
And so when they moved the whole thing over, that was the, you know,
the diagram.
The diagram, yeah. Please read instructions.
Wow.
Yes.
And so they're in the middle of rebuilding the bridge. Well, the heat here had diminished between the rain and the heat. Had diminished the ledger or the instructions, and it started drying out and flaking and blowing away.
Oh no!
And so they got down to the last part of putting this thing together, and it's go. Okay, this 10,000 ton piece doesn't go here; it must go on the other side.
That's funny. Great. Take a break.
Yeah, we'll take a break.
All right. This gentleman is not from England, but he is from the British Isles, born in South Wales. Tom Jones. Right? Were you a big Tom Jones fan?
Waiting for that.
No, not really.
I actually saw him perform when the Aquarius was the Flamingo. Quite a show. Great show. All right. As we go to break on the Havasu Pioneers radio show, we're talking to Pat Miller. She saw the dismantling of the London Bridge. And, of course, host Dan De Los Santos, the Havasu Pioneers radio show, brought to you, of course, by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. We're going to take a short break. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. If you should ever want to be loved by anyone, it's not unusual. It happens every day, no matter what you say. What's your game now? Can anybody play? Hey, carry on. What's your game now? Can anybody play? All right, welcome back to the Havasu Pioneers radio show, brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Also by Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware, The Chair, Neat Pool and Supply, Mojave College, Dorita's Place for Pets, by Solar Power by Esme Electric, Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City, and by A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. And don't forget about the Golden Shovel Game this Friday.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, in Bullhead City at the Anderson Fieldhouse, and it'll be Havasu versus Mojave. Jim Chaney and myself will be on the play-by-play with the kickoff at 7 o'clock. We'll go live at about 6:40 on 980 AM. You can hear that in Bullhead City as well and at KNTRSports.com. So there you go, this Friday.
Oh, man, that's exciting.
Bring that shovel home, Knights.
Well, I want to give a quick shout-out to – we have listeners coming in from Wisconsin. We have Philip and Rita Wood, and we want to thank them for – chiming in, listening to our show today, and also Pat and Ralph Watkins are calling, chiming in from Colorado. So, yeah, thank you, folks, for being part of not only our listeners, but being part of my family. They're my cousins. So we're here with Pat Miller, and we're having a wonderful conversation with her. She's sharing some great insight as to her upbringing in Europe, as well as her travels that landed her here in the United States. And she's shared some really great stuff that she got to see the London Bridge as it was being taken apart, which, wow, the only person I have ever met that actually saw that, that's still with us and actually has a little bit of a great memory about seeing that happen. So, Pat, you ended up in Lake Havasu City. You know, what was it like? You saw the bridge being taken apart. Well, you were there in Europe. You saw the bridge being taken apart. Now you live in Lake Havasu City, and there's a London Bridge. It's like the thing's following you around.
Well, before I came here to live, we had come over, my husband and my boys, to see it. And it looked pretty stupid out there in the desert with no water under it.
Pre-channel. Gotta love it. That's funny.
I love that. Yeah. That is great. So, yes, you know, and you weren't alone. The community not realizing there was going to be a channel cut underneath it for some of us. What the heck is a bridge doing out in the middle of the desert?
Yeah, it did. We couldn't figure it out.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
At that point, you couldn't envision any water coming under it because they hadn't dug out the channel then, you know.
Now, is that a time frame when you purchased your property?
No, that was before then.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
When,
it was back in the 90s, I think.
Okay.
Or maybe the 80s even. I can't remember.
So you purchased your properties in the 80s.
Purchased the house here in 2005.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha, okay.
But this was when we still lived in San Diego.
Okay. Yeah, so, in 1971, October is when we had the grand opening of the bridge, and we'd finally got it together, and we dug the channel out. And, you know, we had what's called London Bridge Days. So we had a whole month of about 20 different wonderful events. We have two surviving events. One is the London Bridge Days Parade, and the other is the London Bridge Beard and Mustache Competition, which is coming up this October. It is 55 years old, along with the reconstruction of our bridge, and the parade will be happening as well. So there's a lot of things you get to still experience from when that day happened.
Yeah.
And you got here in 2011, is that right?
I came here in 2011 on my own. That was after I'd lost my husband.
So tell me, what was life like for you trying to get to know people?
Well, the church was very friendly, and I became active in it. And at that time, it was an English vicar, Father David, and I hadn't been here. I hadn't been in the church very long, and he said, "Oh, I want you to be the secretary for our vestry." And so he wrote me in to be the secretary of the vestry, and of course then I had interaction with a lot of people in the church at that time, so you know, I made friends with a lot of people.
Well, that's wonderful, and Havas is really known for that. That's one beautiful part about our community. We make friends, and a lot of us came from, you know, areas with nobody here, so we were definitely kind of all thrown together at one point, and continue to do so and make friends here in Lake Havasu. So,
well, I'm still active in the church. I produce the bulletin for the Sunday service.
That's wonderful. And which church is that?
That's the Grace Episcopal Church at the corner of Bunker Drive and Acoma.
And that's where we can see you, right, Lot? Okay. Well, I got to tell you, it's certainly been a pleasure having you on our show, and I can't thank you enough. You know, I think when I reflect about just moving here and seeing the bridge, you brought to our show a whole nother aspect about what the bridge was and to a lot of people before it even got here. So, and needless to say, you're... You're a trooper. You made it through an amazing time of life during World War II and all the other things that came along. I'm fascinated by that. How are your children? Are they all grown now? You said one was just turning 67?
Yes. And my younger one is in Nevada. He's 4 years younger.
That's wonderful. And do you want to give them a shout out? What are their names?
Dean Miller in Winchester, which is... Temecula.
Okay.
Yes, it's all one area, actually. And then my son Robin is in Nevada.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, good. And I got to tell you guys, your mom did a wonderful job on the show today. Truly. Now, do you have to ask, do you have any grandchildren? Or?
Yes, I have two grandchildren, and I have a grandson in Temecula wine country that last year he joined a winery that had never made their own wine, and they hired him to make their first wine, and he won a national award with his white wine last year.
And when do we get to meet him?
Well, he comes on visits every so often.
Oh,
my goodness. They were here just 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, again, thank you so much for being here. And, you know, we're going to be doing show number 80 coming up, Paul. And, you know, it's going to be a special show. We're going to have some folks. We're going to be talking about the parade, the London Bridge Parade, Day's Parade. We'll be talking about the London Bridge Beard and Mustache Competition. We'll be talking about the bridge itself in its 55th year. And so we'll have a couple of guest speakers on to share a little bit of that information with us. And so it'll be show number 80. I'm really
October
excited.
7th.
October 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
The first Wednesday in October.
At 11 o'clock. We're not going into daylight savings time this year.
Not till November.
Okay, not till November.
I believe, that's going to be about November 5th-ish.
So we got time.
It's the day after Election Day. It'll be November 4th.
Okay, and our show isn't till after that, I don't think.
The first Wednesday in November, you mean?
Yeah.
No, that would be November 4th.
Okay. Yeah. So we won't be in daylight saving. Okay. Great.
No, we will.
Oh, we will.
Yeah, we will. That'll be at noon. Okay. So the November show will be at noon.
Oh boy. Well, I'll be sharing that with all our listeners.
Right.
So thanks everyone for listening to the show today. You know, I got to tell you, it's been an honor to be with you, Pat. And I'll look forward to having everybody listen in, for our next show, October 7th.
All right. And we're going to take our last break of the hour on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. This one, number 79, of course, number 80 in October. How appropriate. And our guest today, Pat Miller, she was the British woman who saw the dismantling of the London Bridge. Like, what, 1968, you said?
69?
1970.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That was probably in the middle of it.
Right.
And so, I checked my passport to make sure I had the right date.
Wow. So the opening, of course, in October of 71. Correct, Dan?
Say it again.
The opening, October of 71?
October 10th, as I recall.
Okay. Wow. Dan's all over it. All right, little Manfred Mann with Doo-Wah Diddy. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. I'm going to let you know who's on tomorrow and then do a little preview of our candidates forum coming up in a moment. Stay with us.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief.
All right, a little All Along the Watchtower by Bob Dylan. And in 1968, on this date, Jimi Hendrix releases his version. It's a cover of Dylan's All Along the Watchtower, and it became his biggest hit. I had no idea. I thought it might be Crosstown Traffic or Foxy Lady, one of those. But no, it's All Along the Watchtower. Thanks to Marissa June for providing that information. All right, on tomorrow's show, we have Jillian Danielson coming in talking about the Havasu All Abilities Resource Fair that is this weekend at the Aquatic Center, and that is from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And, you can learn everything you want to know about the All Abilities Resource Fair, but we're afraid to ask. Just listen to tomorrow's show on Speak Out at 11. She's the first guest. Then we have Vice Mayor David Diaz with Mario Biasucci. They're going to be in and talking about some e-bike news. So that'll be very interesting to hear from Mario Biasucci. So here he has quite the gift of gab. All right, on Wednesday, September 23rd, 5:30 is the airtime. 5 o'clock, doors open at the Performing Arts Center at the high school. We've got candidates for governor, congressman, also state mine inspector, corporation commission, legislative district 30, state rep. We've got Lake Havasu City Council candidates for the runoff and Lake Havasu Unified School Board or District School Board. But that's on the 23rd. And Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.